So now we look at Matthew chapter 6, and he's talking about people who do what is right, like giving money to the poor, verse 2, and letting everybody know it, advertise how much I gave. Giving to the poor is a good thing, but when you want other people to know about it, that's a sin, and that corrupts the gift, and you will not get a reward for it, because Jesus said, you already got your reward here. The reward is a lot of people praised you, appreciated you. Oh, this man is a very generous man. Or you let everybody know how much offering you give to the Lord and you get an honor for it. And the Lord says, you got your reward on earth. There's no reward in heaven for you. So he's talking here about people who do something and advertise it. This is what we are doing for the Lord. This is what I have done for the Lord. This is what... To give a testimony is good, what the Lord has done for me. And if the Lord enabled you to bring somebody to Christ, to testify that the Lord helped you to bring someone to Christ is good, but don't seek honor for it. Don't do something for the sake of getting honor. In other words, when you give to the poor, verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So if you do something for the Lord, don't let other people know about it. That is the meaning. Don't let other people in the church know anything good that you did. As far as possible, hide it. Now, sometimes it's not possible to hide it. For example, when people give money to the church by a check, which is much easier than putting cash in the box. Naturally, the treasurer at least will know who gave so much. You can't help it. But you're not doing it for that sake. You're giving a check because it is more convenient. It's not a question of whether people know it or not. The question is, what is your motive? Are you giving in order for people to see? Then it is a sin. But if people accidentally discover about it, you're not to blame. Supposing you gave something to the poor and somebody saw you giving it, it's not a sin. But you did not give that in order for people to see. So please remember that and don't condemn yourself. Your giving must always be, verse 4, in secret. Everything you do for the Lord must be in secret, not something that you want people to know about. It. This is a big temptation among many, many believers. They advertise so much about their money and what they are giving to the poor and giving to the Lord, etc. You can glory in what your church is. If your church is helping poor people, that's a good thing. That's not a credit to you. It's a credit to the church. But if you are personally giving something, hide it as far as possible. Next thing, verse 5. When you pray, prayer also, it's very easy to pray in order to get honor from others. When you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites, verse 5. Because they pray and they are waiting for people to be seen and heard by men. Now, it says here they stand in the street corners. Now, you don't have to stand in the street corners. You can stand up in this church and pray. And you're thinking while you're praying, what are people thinking about my prayer? While you're praying to God, you're not conscious of the presence of Jesus. You're more conscious of the presence of the 20, 30 people sitting around you. And what are they thinking? That is what I mean. Are you guilty of it? We have all been guilty about it. I remember in my own life when I began the Christian life, every time I prayed in the early days of my Christian life, I was always thinking, what did other people think about it? Or after finishing prayer, when I sat down, I would think, was that a good prayer? Did everybody think it was a good prayer? This is how corrupt our heart is, and I'm confessing my own sin. And I would go home and I would repent and I say, Lord, when am I going to be free from this? And next Sunday, I would again go to the meeting, again pray, again I would be the conscious. But I said, Lord, I am not going to give up this battle until the day comes when I can pray and it is just as if there's nobody else in the room. I'm praying only to you. And that came after a long, long time in my life where I could pray in a public church meeting and it was just as if there's nobody else there. I was praying to Jesus. Only Jesus was there. You can come to that if you fight this desire to get honored. I want to say to all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, I say this as a loving spiritual father to you. Please fight this desire to get honor from the other people in the church for how well you can preach or how well you can pray or how well you can do something. Lord, I do it for you. If people see it, let them see it. But I'm not interested in their approval. I'm not worried about their criticism. I'm not seeking their honor. You have to fight it because we all have a tremendous desire to get honor from people. That's just in within us. It's part of the nature of Adam. And so you have to fight it. And it says here when you pray, verse 6, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your father who's in secret. So how shall I do that in public? When I'm in a meeting, why do I close my eyes? Closing my eyes is like shutting the door. It says here, shut the door. Close the door. So I close my eyes, I'm closing the door. That means why do I close my eyes? It is to imagine there's nobody else here. They are there, but Lord, I don't want to be aware of them. That's why I close my eyes. I close my eyes so that I need to be only aware of you. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. And I want to encourage all of you, even little children, learn to pray like this. Don't worry about what people are saying, even if you stumble and say in a few words, but speak directly to Jesus. Always when you pray, think of Jesus alone. It will not happen in one day, but if you work at it, I promise you, a day will come, maybe within a year or so, you'll be so liberated that when you pray in the church meeting, you will only be conscious of Jesus. Oh, what a day that will be. After so many years of praying to impress people, what a wonderful day that will be when you finally come to the place where you're praying to Jesus, which you should have been doing for the last 30 years. Finally, you got there. So if you haven't started on that journey, start today. Lord, I want to start being conscious of you only when I pray. I don't want to pray to impress people. And then Jesus told us how, and even our giving, you know, say, Lord, I don't want anybody to know what I'm giving, how much I'm giving. I don't want anyone to know how much I'm praying. And then he gave us some instructions on prayer. Please look at verse 7. All of you, please look at Matthew 6 and verse 7. Don't use meaningless repetition. Have you been to Pentecostal meetings where they say, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah? What is it? Meaningless repetition. First of all, most of those people don't even know what Hallelujah means because it is not an English word. Supposing somebody does not know Hindi and I get up in a meeting and say, Prabhu ki stuti ho, Prabhu ki stuti ho, Prabhu ki stuti ho, so they won't know what I'm saying because I'm praying it in Hindi. Hallelujah is in Hebrew. It's not English. Most people who have read the word Hallelujah, they don't even know what it means. In Hindi, if I say, Prabhu ki stuti ho, Lord be praised, that's the meaning in Hindi. Hallelujah means somewhat the same thing. Hallel means praise. Yah is a short for Jehovah, which is the Lord. Hallelujah means praise the Lord in Hebrew. But we don't know Hebrew. All the people who listen to you don't know Hebrew. I might as well say it in English. Praise the Lord. Okay, what I'm saying is, so keep on, I've heard many Pentecostal churches, they keep on saying Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. What is this meaningless repetition? Imagine standing before Jesus. Supposing Jesus is right in front of me. You must recognize that when he's in a meeting like this. For example, right now, do you recognize that Jesus Christ is right there in your midst? If the Prime Minister of Singapore was coming there and sitting there in the front chair, oh, all of you will be very aware. Prime Minister has come to our meeting today. What about Jesus Christ has come to your meeting today? We must pray, Lord, make me aware Jesus is there. Like, you know, many times when I pray, when I preach rather, I think in the front chair, Jesus is sitting there, listening to me. And I think, is he agreeing with what I'm saying? Am I saying something to impress people? Am I just cracking jokes to make, to impress people? Or am I serious about what I'm preaching? Am I seeking to save people or to impress them? Jesus is sitting in the front chair and listening to me. I want to be aware of the presence of Jesus Christ in every meeting that I come to. And if you haven't developed that habit, please develop it now.